were coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. This morning we have a wonderful program for you. Today is the day that we focus in on our Sunday school. Yes, it's getting time, ladies and gentlemen, for our Sunday school. Before you know it, Sunday will be here. So Sunday is on the way. Yeah, Sunday's on the way. And so we're trying to help you to get ready this morning for your Sunday school. I don't want you to go in there and where you can't participate. I don't want you to see, if you're going to enjoy Sunday school, you got to be a participator and not just a spectator. Yeah, if you just go to be a spectator, you ain't no really enjoy Sunday school. No, you need to go to be a participator. Go there to ask some questions, or go there to tell somebody something. Yeah, go there to have something to contribute. All right, but today we're going to look at our Sunday school lesson, and then Sunday school lesson is taken out of Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse number 1 through 3, then 6 through 14. That's our lesson this morning. Let's read the text. It says, in Genesis 22, beginning with verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he says, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him." And verse 6, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Abraham spake unto, and Isaac, I'm sorry, spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he says, Here am I, my son. And he says, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he says, Here am I. And he says, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are, the God who hears and you still answer prayers. Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. For you are strength, you are redeemer, and besides you there is no other. Speak in a mighty way. Give us today the words that you want your people to hear. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Today we are looking at a lesson out of Genesis 22 verses 1 practically through 14. And it's entitled, The Lord Will Provide. The Lord Will Provide. And for this particular quarter, we're looking at acknowledging God. Acknowledging God. Now, in the month of March, we'll look at follow in my ways. Follow in my ways. If we're going to really acknowledge God, then we're going to have to follow in his ways. And then in April, we'll look at all glory and honor. All glory and honor. So if we're going to be acknowledging God, we're going to have to learn how to give him all the glory and the honor. And then in May, we'll look at give praise to God. Give praise to God. So if we're going to be acknowledging God, we got to learn how to give praise to God. We got to learn how to give praise to God. All right. So, but for this particular month, we're going to be looking at follow in my ways. If we're going to acknowledge God, we're going to have to follow in his ways. And so in this first lesson, we'll look at how the Lord will provide. Now, this is a great message today, a great lesson, because the lesson is really dealing with faith. And you know, we've been learning about faith through the winter quarter, and this lesson here could have easily went with the winter quarter where we were studying about faith, because this lesson here is certainly one of the great lessons on faith. And we see that Abraham is growing in his faith. He's growing in his faith. When we first meet Abraham over in Genesis chapter 12, the Bible talks about how God had called Abraham to go to leave his kindreds and to a land that God would show him. And Abraham, he left his kinfolks, but he took Lot with him. Remember, he took Lot with him. So he wasn't totally obedient, because he did take one of his kin people with him. And then we see that when he got in the land, Abraham, his faith was not perfect yet, because he went on down into Egypt. He when the famine came into the land. Rather than trusting God and staying there in the land, Abraham basically, he flunked the test because he went down into Egypt. And then down in the Egypt, remember, one of the kings down there took Sarah. He told Sarah, matter of fact, don't tell him that you my wife, tell him you my sister. And so when Sarah did that, the king, he took Sarah into his harem. And God had to step in and rescue Sarah, shut the wombs up of the king's harem. And then the king, he saw Abraham and Sarah out there sporting with one another. He says, nah, that's your wife. And so he went on and got rid of Abraham, but he went on and gave Abraham a lot of substance, a lot of material wealth. And in chapter 20, some of the same thing happened again. You have almost a repeat. In chapter 16, remember Abraham, he stumbled again in his faith because he didn't trust and wait on God to give him a baby. God had told him, I'm going to give you a baby. But he didn't wait on God to give him a baby. They got ahead of God. And remember, Sarah came up with a plan for him to go into Hagar, the handmaid, and he ended up having a baby by her, but that didn't work out. That didn't work out. They had Ishmael, but there was problem in the house, and so they had to put him, Ishmael and his mama, Hagar, they had to put him out. And so we see that Abraham, he stumbled a lot in his faith. And that's how with any of us, you have to grow in your faith. And you'll see that God constantly sends tests and stuff into our lives. And we come across a test today. We come across a test today. Now keep in mind, it's just like a test in school. When do the teacher test you? Let me ask that question again. When do the teacher test you? She tests you after you done learned the material. Once you done learned the material, then on Friday, she gonna test you. Or on Monday, you know, sometimes they let you study over the weekend. But after she have taught you the material, then she's gonna test you to see, did you really comprehend? Did you really learn what she had taught you? That's how God worked. God already done prepared you. God already done gave you what you need in order to pass the test. And so we see that God, he tests Abraham here in verses 1 and 2. He tests Abraham. Now, if you was going to outline this, you could say, verses 1 through 8 is Abraham's sorrow in these first 8 verses, because you're going to see Abraham is very, just can't you imagine God done told you, look here in verse number 1 and 2, God tells you, and it came to pass after the things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. He said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. And so we see here that God tells Abraham to go and offer his son up on the altar. Now, think about it. Verse number 1 said it came to pass after these things. What things? Well, Isaac was born in chapter 21. When you go back, and study chapter 21, you'll see that Isaac was born in chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. But then when you come to verse number 8, you'll find out that Abraham had to get rid of Hagar and Ishmael. And so God asked Abraham to put Isaac on the altar after he had put Ishmael out. See, it would have been a little bit easier for Abraham to offer one of his sons on the altar if he knew he had another son at home. Now, that's hard. It's hard, you know. But he at least that would have left him with a son at home. But God waited till Abraham done put Ishmael out, and now he comes and tell Abraham, Abraham, now I need you to put Isaac on the altar. That means Abraham going to be losing both of his sons. But God really never looked at Ishmael as Abraham's son. Notice, how do we know that? Because God tells him here, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him up for a burnt offering. And notice, this is a sorrowful thing that God is asking Abraham to do. Just think about it. If God would ask you to offer up your child, particularly if all you got is one child, that is a sorrowful thing. That's a sorrowful. I mean, that's not something that's going to make you happy. God came to Abraham and told him to do that. And that was a command that really didn't make Abraham happy. But the Bible says that Abraham, he arose early the next morning. But before we get there, that word tempt is the word, because the Bible said God did tempt Abraham. Now, that word basically means God proved Abraham. It don't mean that he tempted him in the sense how the devil tempt us in with temptation. Because the Bible tells us in James chapter 1 that God don't tempt no man. And so what he's talking about here, God proved Abraham, or God tested Abraham. And so I just kind of want to bring some clarity to that. And then God told him to take Isaac up to Mount Moriah, the land of Moriah. Now, the Mount Moriah has some historical. When you read your Bible over in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, you'll find out that that word Moriah is mentioned over there. And then it talks about King Solomon would build a temple on Mount Moriah there in Jerusalem. Now, the scripture goes on and it tells us in verse number 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, abide ye here with us, and I and the lad, excuse me, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now that's showing us that Abraham got some faith. That shows us that Abraham, he got some faith. But notice the scripture says, and Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, laid it up on Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand, the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, he says, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? So we see that Abraham, he had faith in God, but notice Isaac's questions. Isaac asked a question here. Isaac's question was, okay, now we got the wood, we got the fire, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? And so we see here up under Abraham, Sarah, we see Isaac's question. He says, and he calls his dad. He says, Abraham, Isaac spoke unto his Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he says, here am I. What I like about Abraham is how you will notice that Abraham is constantly at attention whenever somebody's called. When God called Abraham in verse 1, he says, here am I. And now Isaac calls him and he says, here am I. He didn't try to ignore him. Did you notice that? He didn't try to ignore him. He says, here am I. And he says, behold, the fire, the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? So Isaac was very observant. He was very observant. He knew that they was going up to the mountain to worship, and they had the wood for the burnt offering. They had the fire for the burnt offering, but something was missing. The lamb for the burnt offering was missing. And notice Abraham respond in verse number 8. Abraham says, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And so this is faith. Do you see the faith of Abraham? Abraham got a lot of faith. He says God will provide himself. And really, in that word himself, could it be that Abraham is really thinking that God is going to provide himself in the future? I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, but it seems like that Abraham has a measure of revelation knowledge of what God was going to do in the future in putting his son on the altar. Because he says God will provide. He just didn't say God will provide a burnt offering. He says God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so Abraham knew that God is going to get a lamb. He's going to get his own lamb. Well, I'm not going to have to bring a lamb, but God is going to provide a lamb. Now, that's faith, ladies and gentlemen. That's a lot of faith. Again, when you look back up, go back into verse number 5, when Abraham says to the young men, abide here with the ass. Stay here with the donkey, and the lad will go, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So Abraham is believing, ladies and gentlemen, that him and Isaac is going to come back. Now, according to the book of Hebrews, when you look over in Hebrews chapter 11, it gives us a little commentary on how Abraham was thinking that day. So, you know, that's why you need to know the whole Bible, because the New Testament is the commentary to the Old Testament. When you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 17, it says, but by faith Abraham, when he was tried, proven, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. Yeah, Abraham believed, Abraham was on a mission to go up there. He was going to put his son on the altar, but he was going to kill Isaac, believing that God was going to raise him back up. Do you see that? And then God was going to bring a lamb in there. Yeah. He believed that, he was on a mission to kill him. And he just believed that God was going to have to raise him up. Why? Because this was the son of the promise. It was going to be through Isaac that the whole world be blessed. And so he was holding on to that promise that if I kill Isaac, that means God is going to have to raise him back up from the dead in order to carry out his promise. In order for God to fulfill his promise, Isaac going to have to get up from the dead. He's going to have to raise up Isaac from the dead. So this was great faith. This is great faith, ladies and gentlemen. And so let's go on a little bit further. It says, and it came, and they came to the place which God has told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now, when you look at this, you see Isaac's submission. You see Isaac's submission. Now, I don't believe that Isaac was a little bitty boy. I think Isaac probably was in his 20s. Some theologians say he was around about 22. Some say he was in his mid-20s. Some say that he was even 30 years old. Well, I don't know. I don't think he was... He may not have been quite 30 years old. The text really don't tell us. But one thing that we do know is I believe that Isaac was strong enough to refuse to lay on that altar. I believe, now you think about it, Abraham is over 120 years old. I think Abraham probably was about over 120 years old, because when you read chapter 23, you read, and Sarah was 127 years old when she died. And this story of Sarah's death take place right after Isaac done been put on that altar. And so not too long after that. So that's why I'm believing that Isaac probably was in his 20s. He probably was in his 20s, and it may have been, mid-20s, 25 years old. Either way it go, a 25-year-old man, Abraham, probably at this time is over 100 and something, 120, 130, may even been close to 140 at this time. We don't really know. Well, he wouldn't have been 140, because that meant Isaac would have to be about 40, and Isaac is not quite 40 yet, because he don't get married until he is about 40 years old. So, and his mama hadn't died. And so, keep in mind, Sarah had Isaac when she was 90 years old. Abraham had Isaac when he was 100 years old. 100 years old going on 101. Yeah, when he had Isaac. And so a good 20 years done passed when you come to this story here. And so Abraham, a 20-year-old boy, is in the prime of his life. Let's say Abraham is 125 and Isaac is 25. A 25-year-old boy can take a 125-year-old man. Yeah, yeah. And so Isaac submitted This is a case of submission. Isaac submitted to his daddy and let his daddy tie him and let his daddy bound him and let his daddy put him on the altar. Isaac could have got up off that altar. Isaac could have refused. He could have rebelled. But this shows the submissiveness of Isaac. When he was in the prime of his life, he submitted to the will of his father. But then notice now, so we done moved from Abraham, Sarah, that's the first 8 verses. We see Isaac's submission in verses 9 and 10. And then I want you to see God's substitute in verses 11 through 24. It says here in verse number 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he says, here am I. And he says, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know it that thou feared God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. And Abraham went, took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said today, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And so what we see here is that the angel of the Lord, and I believe the angel of the Lord is none other than the incarnated or the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this was the Lord Jesus Christ calling Abraham out of heaven. And what I like about Abraham, like I said, he's so attentive to the will of God. He's got an ear to hear God's word, whether it's coming directly from God or whether it's coming through a child of God like Isaac. And this is the third time that Abraham has said, here am I. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what we need to have. We need to have an ear to hear the word of God. Yeah, when God calls us, we need to have an ear to hear what God is calling us to do. Just think, if Abraham did not have an ear to hear God, if his ears was not tuned to God, if his ear was not tuned to God, he would end up killing his son. Do you hear what I'm saying? If he was not tuned to God, he could have ended up killing his son and didn't have to kill his son. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people today are making mistakes. They are falling into sin all because they are not tuned to God. They are doing stuff that they really didn't have to do. But because they are not tuned to God, they are making big mistakes and they are falling into sin. Listen, be tuned to God every step of the way. See, don't just get one order from God and then just run all off. No. God may want to speak to you once you get to that place that he done told you to go. Yeah, God may want to speak to you along the way. So you make sure you keep your ears tuned to Almighty God. Make sure you keep your ears tuned. I'm reminded of the Titanic. Do you know why the Titanic really sank? Do you know why the Titanic really sank? The Titanic sank because it had cut its radio off. It couldn't receive no messages. They was trying to warn the Titanic that it was some icy. It was too icy for them to keep going the way that they was going. But the captain decided to turn the radio off. If he would have kept the radio on, then he would have got the information that he needed in order to preserve life. But the Titanic sunk all because they didn't have their radio on. You got to keep your ears tuned, ladies and gentlemen, to God Almighty. And look what God did. God called him and he told Abraham, Abraham, you done passed the test. And he told Abraham, don't do your son no harm. And the Bible says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram. Now notice, the ram was caught. He didn't have to go out there and chase the ram down. The ram was caught in the thicket. That's how God works. When God's got something for you, God catches it for you. Mm-hmm. He catches it for you. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to run out there to try to catch a man or have to run out there and catch a woman if you're single. God will catch them for you. Uh-huh. And just like he caught this ram, whatever you need, God will catch it for you. Why is that? Because God is a God that will provide. Did you hear what I said? God is a God that will provide. And so keep your ears, your spiritual ears open, that God can let you know what you need to know so you can do what you need to do, because God will provide. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.